That's what I want to do.
That's what you want to do.
That's what I want to do.
The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
Again.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord.
Hello.
Carol the Cat.
We live.
The Giddy Geeker. Woo! And Tiffany the Technician.
Hi.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
Yep.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
That's us.
Pew pew! Episode 119. We're back.
We're back from various illnesses.
And so we're back from outer space.
Yeah. We just stopped in to find you here with that sad look upon your face.
Do you remember that meme that used to come out? It was like an alien dancing to that, and then something just like
fell on him?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Did you wake up with that?
Yeah.
Is everybody awake now?
Everybody awake. Tiffany, you awake?
Okay. Yeah.
Stop hibernating.
So I think we should start things off because there's a big announcement.
Dun, dun,
yeah.
Dun. Yes. So.
Geeker.
Yay. We are so excited to finally announce that the Geek Gala has a new date and location.
Mm.
Woo.
Woo.
So this is going to be our 9th year.
Whoa.
And it's going to be, I know, right?
Almost how old I am.
So it's going to be Saturday, October 21st is the actual main event. It will start at 7 p.m. and go until midnight. Ooh. But we're also excited because we're going to be bringing back the Muggles Market. In spite of what one of our former artisans asked, if it was going to be Muggles 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
No. Frankly, I think anything 2 should have the electric boogaloo attached to it.
But we are so excited because we're going to be at Noah's event venue. Not Noah's Ark, but Noah's event venue, which they're actually still building right now. The good news is it has to be completed by April 1st because they have a wedding on April 1st. But this is a fabulous new location, and I can't wait for you guys to see it. Starnslord and I got to see it under construction and got to walk around, and then we got to see pictures of other locations that were finished.
It's so nice.
But it's going to be so nice. We're going to have all sorts of cool special effects available. So we are very excited, and we're also excited to announce that Mikey Mason will be back again.
Yay!
Mikey! Yay!
And we are working on some really cool features. So, you know, being who I am, that as we go along, I'll be continuing to announce that. But we hope to continue to bring you some good news. But if you go to geekgala.com, you can actually get your tickets now, which would help us out because, you know, the more that we can pay up front, the less we have to worry about on the other end.
That's right.
And,
get your tickets now.
And if you are an artisan and would like to sell your handcrafted wares at our Muggles Market, you can find out about that as well.
Get your application in quickly.
Yes. And we will be announcing the official host hotel next week. We're working on that contract right now. Some great news, including the fact that we will have free shuttle back and forth, so you do not have to drink and drive. So
that's awesome. That's always
drink and ride.
Yes, just drink and ride, and they're going to
for free
add on extra hours for free.
Mm-hmm.
For free. So, but we've got some other cool stuff up our sleeves as well. So really cool things to talk about. But that's all I'm going to announce this week. We'll save
them. Awesome.
That's right.
Awesome news.
And I'm getting over a cold, so if I cough, I apologize.
No problem.
I also still have a little bit of gunk in my lungs, so if I cough, I apologize. No.
Well, hey, you went to Logicon.
I did. I went to a Logicon this past weekend.
How was it?
It was
logical.
Fun. It was fun. I'm not going to say very small, but it's a small con in Raleigh. I believe this was their 6th year.
Okay.
They were up against MarsCon, so it affected their attendance a little bit. But this is it's a very friendly, very kind of you-know-everybody con. and this is kind of my relax-a-con. I generally don't... we don't have a table. We don't do a room party. I just generally go to go see panels, although I was drafted into the Trivia for Chocolate to be an expert again this year.
Did you get chocolate?
I did get chocolate because I am an expert.
All right.
On a lot of different things.
That's the most important thing
there. This is why we have you on the podcast.
Many chocolates were thrown my way.
And how many landed in your cleavage?
None. Oddly enough,
dang
none.
Wow.
I was really quick to grab. So, no, it's a really fun con. This year was the first year that Matricula, you've been to Con Carolinas or Geek Gala last year, you probably saw her perform. She's the new programming director for Logicon, and she did a really awesome job. It was a really nice variety of panels. It was well set up. I recommend it. Ooh. I know they're opposite MarsCon again next year, unfortunately. But yeah,
and there was one of the Mace things was going on
was
too.
Going on as well. Yeah,
it was a busy weekend.
It was a busy weekend for geeks, but
yeah. And Scarab.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
So it was, but it was a fun con. It's a fun little con.
It probably is really not that.
It's not really all that far. The drive back is probably worse than the drive there. Just you know, but that's always the case when you're going to cons, I think.
And Darren Kennedy was there.
Gail Martin was there. Nice. It is funny because I was sitting in on one of their panels, and Gail's like, "Hey, Carol, you passed me on the highway." I was like, "Hey, there's Carol." I'm like, yeah, I hit the highway, and I
keep going.
Floor it.
So, well, and it's not like your car isn't easily identifiable. First of all, it's square.
Yeah.
And second of all, it's covered with decals.
Yeah.
If you can't find Carol's car in a parking lot, go get your eyes checked.
My car will never be used as a getaway car.
No, it's sort of like the Borg, but it's a geeky Borg, and you will be assimilated into geekdom if you go.
Well,
there.
It is a cube.
Yeah, exactly.
Just be careful what you touch, because you might just get stuck and become a bumper sticker on the side of your car.
That's how you get some of those. Okay, I've never seen some of those.
You know, the Valentine Wolf sticker is not just a sticker, it's Valentine Wolf. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Too funny. All right, so speaking of things that were a little bit sticky, Sherlock.
Oh, God.
Let's just get it over with.
Spoilers.
Now, I will admit that we did not see the whole thing.
Okay.
So I know some of what you're going to say, and I will just say I didn't have the same reaction, but perhaps it's because I didn't see it in its entirety.
Okay, so spoilers. If you have not seen the finale of season 4 of Sherlock,
go ahead and probably, fast forward
a minute, because I'm about
minutes.
To spoil the whole damn thing. This made me angry. It was so stupid.
Oh.
the point of Sherlock Holmes is that you don't have to suspend your disbelief because everything can logically be explained. And Sherlock will explain it for you eventually.
Right.
This whole episode was riddled with shit that could not be explained. Within 15 minutes, you have Watson and Holmes jumping out of a second-story window with a huge explosion behind them. And the next scene, they're fine. No scratches, no bruises, no nothing. They're pirating a boat.
Huh.
Mycroft apparently had 30 seconds to grab Mrs. Hudson and get out of 221 Baker Street and did it. And again, perfectly fine. No scratches, no bruises, nothing. The entire building exploded. And they were fine. We found out last week that, in fact, Sherlock doesn't have another brother. He has a sister.
Right.
And she, of course, because it's Stephen Moffat writing this shit and he can't write a female character that's just a standard female character, she's a psychopath. Who's out, for some reason, to get Sherlock. Oh my God. So she apparently has been in a maximum security mental facility since she was a very young girl. Mycroft.
His parents are so normal, though.
I know. Mycroft actually faked her death to their parents so they would stop asking about her and put her in a higher security prison, which she apparently just took over because she has the power of suggestion. And so much was wrong with this. So much was wrong with this. From, you know, how did she move an unconscious Sherlock, Mycroft, and Watson to how did she pilot a drone from this remote island to Baker Street? Why didn't Sherlock realize that there was no glass in her cell? I mean, you can see glass.
Okay. Yeah, so I had a raging fever, and I was in the midst of stuff, and I was kind of like in and out, and I was like, did that lady just reach through and touch Sherlock? And then I was like, wait, is that a dream? Am I dreaming this? And then the next morning I was like, I don't know what I watched last night.
So. Apparently she removed the glass. But if you walk into a room and there's a huge wall of glass, there's lights, you're going to get reflections, you're going to get your reflection.
Yeah.
You're going to notice when there's no glass there. But he didn't notice.
So I got too close.
And the stupidest thing was that Mycroft apparently allowed Moriarty an unsupervised visit with his psychopath sister for no reason at all.
Okay.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Why on earth would he allow them to meet unsupervised?
Because she has the power of suggestion.
But not against Mycroft. It was just...
So she have the power of suggestion in the way that, like...
Purple Man?
Yeah, the dude from Jessica Jones.
That's the way that is seriously the way they wrote it. No. But the problem is, this isn't a superhero show.
Right.
This is supposed to be normal people. She's supposed to be really smart. And I get that she's really smart and that, you know, she has absolutely no concept between good or evil. She doesn't get what makes people feel good and what makes people feel bad, even toward herself. They locked her up because she was cutting herself to find out how her muscles worked.
Ooh.
Even though you can look in a book. But the thing is, the way they wrote it, she was every person that would be in a room with her for like 5-10 minutes would suddenly want to do everything she said. And I'm like, that's not how this works. That's really not how any of this works. And nothing was explained. And in the end of it, it's, you know, she's back in the institution and...
Yeah, because it would have been cooler if she just... over an amount of time wore you down and beat you with logic, sort of like the flip coin of Sherlock.
Yeah.
Where it's basically just cunning and kind of manipulating you. That would have been cool. Yeah. The other thing I saw was like when he was above in the graveyard and he was doing the Minority Report screen flipping and all that stuff. The virtual.
Apparently.
The words.
He has blocked a childhood memory that she killed one of his best friends. And in his mind, he turned the best friend into a dog. And she apparently changed all the dates on the gravestone and their family manor. And he was using this as a code to tell him where his friend was and nobody could figure it out. It's so convoluted. God. There's so many plot holes in this. I'm just like,
wow.
Oh my God, this is not Sherlock Holmes. This is not what Sherlock Holmes is supposed to be. At the end of it, you're supposed to go, that's how they did it. Not, how the fuck did they do that? So I was actually very, very disappointed.
So they jumped a big shark.
Yeah, they did. Okay. They did.
Interesting.
And then you get one last message from Mary at the very end where, you know, she gets to call them all her Baker Street boys. And and there's a couple of very nice touches. I'm not going to say there a couple of nice touches in that, you know, Sherlock goes to play a violin for his sister and he's playing the Jeremy Brett Sherlock Holmes theme, which is a nice callback to those of us who loved Jeremy Brett. They're running out of a building and the building's called Rathbone Place. I'm like, that's a nice touch, Basil Rathbone. But the rest of it just made absolutely no sense. These aren't superheroes. These are guys. One of them's just extremely smart.
So have they said this is the last
They're supposed to come
episode?
Back.
And,
oh, this, they is are. The this is the last episode of the series. Oh, they're supposed to come back, but it's probably going to be a couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So.
Huh. Okay.
For a show that is smart... It's very smart, and I'm starting to get the whole Stephen Moffat can't write women things, because in this series, the women are either besotted with Sherlock and can't think for themselves, or psychopaths, or, you know, in the case of Mary, an assassin.
I like the old lady.
The drug lord's ex-wife. Or the drug lord's widow.
Oh my goodness.
She's probably the best written female character on the show.
Wow. Oh
but I do like Mrs. Hudson.
Love her.
So I guess we'll see if Sherlock comes back and if...
and if they can recover.
All parties come back as well. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's not a superhero story, but Son of Zorn is.
Yeah, sort of. Absolutely. So this is just to catch people back up, this is on Fox, and it's Jason Sudeikis plays an animated character who looks a lot like Thundar the Barbarian, but with a bald spot in the back of his big mane. And he is in the real world, so it's animation meets real world stuff, and he moves to L.A. so he can be close to his son, and he has many encounters with his ex-wife, played by Cheryl Hines, and the new man who's kind of taken over his place in the family, who is played by Tim Meadows. And Tim Meadows is one of those guys who can play like the loser kind of everyman, and that's one of the few characters he can actually play really well, and he does it very well. So this one, they're having an engagement party for Cheryl Hines and Tim Meadows' characters, and Zorn doesn't have a date, so he gets back together with his ex, who is Radiana, who is literally a radioactive goddess. So he's getting radiation sickness, he's getting thin, his hair is coming out, he's puking up this animated green vomit, which is awesome. And Tim Meadows' character, Craig, actually saves the day. So, very exciting stuff. I will say the animation does help it, because some of the stuff, I think it's very typical, like stuff you'd see like in the Flintstones, but having the animation and the live action plays really well, and you kind of look over that this is kind of a really basic plot, 20-minute sitcom plot, but taken to a whole new level with the ex-girlfriend and stuff like this. But it's fun. Check it out. And again, yeah, it's only like 20 minutes, and I usually watch it off Hulu, so you have no commercials, which is good. So check it out. Now, the OA, I've been hearing mixed things all over.
I'm going to just be upfront that this was not written for me. This was not my type of show.
Not your jam?
Not my jam. I did watch the entirety of it.
Is it like about a poor boy that comes to a town in California?
No, that's the OC.
I mean, I'm asking, is it my kind of show?
No, I think you
about would. A blogger that reports on rich people?
I think you would laugh at this one. So the OA is about Prairie, who's this Russian mobster's daughter, who gets adopted in the United States, and they change her name to Prairie, and she's blind, and then she disappears for 7 years. She's kidnapped for 7 years, and when she returns, she's not blind anymore, and she recruits five people to be her five movements to learn these Tai Chi moves that take you into another dimension, because, because she's had near-death experiences, and it has brought her to another dimension. And the guy who kidnapped her kidnapped five people who had near-death experiences because he was studying them, and he would constantly kill them and then bring them back to try and study that near-death experience phenomenon.
So not, definitely not me kind of show.
This
it's not the OC.
This show thought it was so much smarter than it actually was. I thought the Tai Chi movements were silly and didn't seem to accomplish anything. And spoilers on the last episode. And the last episode kind of irritated me because they out of nowhere bring this school shooter in to this high school where the five movements that she's explaining her backstory to are actually in school. And they do their movements, and apparently the shooter's just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Weirded out by them.
Yeah. But it distracts him enough that he's tackled and, you know, people are saved. Except O.A., who is shot and apparently goes to the next dimension to meet her love, Homer, which is one of the other people who was kidnapped. Homer. This was very pretentious. My personal opinion, because I know people who absolutely adore this show and was like, how can you not like it? And I'm like, I didn't like any of the characters. I thought Prairie was incredibly selfish and self-centered. The high school kids that she recruits, they center on Steve, who is this bully and asshole, and I don't understand why he became the center of attention for this show. And it was very difficult for me to like anybody in the show. Yeah. And when I don't like anybody in the show, it has to be either quirky. I mean, like, if you watch Young Ones, all of those guys are assholes, but you like watching them because they're funny assholes. These weren't interesting assholes at all. They were just not really interesting. So, not my kind of show. I do know people who absolutely loved it. So, take what you will from that.
Take what you will.
And it has a very ambiguous ending. And it's ambiguous to be ambiguous. It's not, and that's not what I disliked about it. I freaking watched David Lynch, the master of ambiguous endings. But this was just like, oh, I know how we're going to end it. Let's end it so nobody knows what happened. And it's going to be so cool. And that's the way I think it was written.
So speaking of things you do like, Twin Peaks.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Twin Peaks has a premiere date. May 21st.
Okay.
Showtime is currently showing the first two seasons. It's on their rotation, if you want to. I did notice this past weekend I was in my hotel room and they were showing the first season. So it is on their rotation until the new premiere, because it will be on Showtime.
Nice.
Very nice.
So if you get the app, you can watch.
You can watch.
Catch up.
Yeah, quickly. Catch up and...
And mustard. And...
Wait a second.
So, looking forward to that.
Cool.
Because, as we know, Twin Peaks is timeless.
Very much so.
Oh, I see what you did there. yeah, so I like this show. And the thing that it's time travel, but basically the thing that I think has kind of helped it is this kind of odd subplot that there's this group called Rittenhouse. And they actually went back in time and tried to kill a person named Rittenhouse that they thought was the architect of all this. But they let his son escape and found out that probably that's the Rittenhouse they should have killed was the boy that they couldn't do at the time. And one of their... So all these time travel things, which I love, I go crazy for... all have their own rules. So the rule is you can't go back to a time you've already been, because if you do, things have changed and time will not allow you to alter it further. So that's their rule. And so they can't go back and kill the boy, which they don't want to really do anyway. But anyway, so this was kind of weird. They went back to the World's Fair in 1893. And this is the coolest thing about it. I thought about you, Carol. They had the murder castle, which cool. I don't know. Do you know this thing? So this is the serial killer before serial killers had a name, which they kind of made fun of, as they were saying to the people of the time, oh, I think he's a serial killer. And they're like, what's that? And they didn't have those or didn't know what that was. So it was a booby-trapped hotel where this guy, H.H. Holmes, would trap his victims. He had trap door. I mean, this is the stuff you would watch on Saturday in the UHF channels back in the day, or like bad cable now, and go like, this is crazy. Who would ever do this? But this is real. This guy actually had this fucking hotel called the Murder Castle. It was actually called the World's Fair Hotel. And they had to escape. And Lucy, the heroine, actually helped Flynn and Rufus escape from a certain death, not realizing at the time that H.H. Holmes was actually in the room with them to witness them die. and then he ended up capturing Lucy. So it's just a crazy fucking trip through time. And a really cool appearance by Harry Houdini that helped them get into the hotel and get out of the hotel alive, which was pretty sweet. So this is fun, and I think it shows you don't need a ton of money to do a show. You know, you can do these, go back in the past, and just have fun. Mm-hmm. So it's really fun. So it's not a deep show in the least, but definitely it's got some cool nods, and I learned something. I had no idea about this murder castle. I thought they completely made that up, and I just looked at it before this. I'm like, wow, the Carol's going to dig this.
Yeah, if you want to know more about H.H. Holmes, there is a documentary.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God.
It was on Netflix. I don't know if it's still on Netflix, but it's called H.H. Holmes, America's First Serial Killer, and Martin Scorsese's next film is actually going to be The Devil in the White City, which is a book based on H.H. Holmes, starring Leonardo DiCaprio as Holmes.
Ah! Look at this. Yay. This is crazy.
Leo.
They work well together, I think. neat.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Cool.
There's going to be a lot of H.H. Holmes in the near future, right. I think, so.
Nice. They must have known about this, and let's jump on it now. Let's be, all right.
Serial killers are big.
That's not the Holmes I like. I like the guy that does the home building called Holmes.
Well, I like Sherlock Holmes, just not this season. Sorry.
Yeah, that's true.
Are they going to make another one of those movies with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law?
I don't think so.
Because they just did two.
They did two.
All right.
Robert Downey Jr. was fun.
He was. I actually enjoyed those. And again, it was one of those things where everything was explained at the end. Yeah. It made sense. but I don't think so because, I mean, Jude Law is too busy being the young pope. And Robert Downey Jr.
Did you watch that?
I haven't watched
it. I haven't either. We'll have to watch it this week and discuss.
And discuss next week. But Robert Downey Jr. is being Tony Stark.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, I mean.
And developing Pinocchio.
Yeah.
He really is on this thing where he really, like, genuinely wants to bring the story of Pinocchio to the screen again. Like, a live action.
Well, they're doing Pinocchio. Disney is live actioning a lot of their.
Yeah.
I mean, they did Cinderella. Yeah. They're doing.
But this has been, like, apparently a pet thing of his for, like, 10 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's, like, really into the idea.
Into the Pinocchio. Okay.
Yeah. He's going to play Geppetto?
I guess. I don't know.
I can see him doing the mustache.
He can play anyone, you know?
Yeah.
They could redo Golden Girls, and he can play Blanche. I'm, like, convinced.
I have heard that he...
That's, like, the best quote of the night.
I have heard that he doesn't want to really give up Tony Stark completely. That he would be okay with being sort of like a... Just Peripheral not being character. Iron Man, being kind Tony
of like
Stark,
a Nick Fury just, or something. Yeah.
Which you could, if you follow the comic books, you could actually do. The poor guy's now in an iron lung. He was damaged in Civil War II, so there's Iron Maiden, I guess, will take over for lack of a better term for a while. But they'll try to back out.
He only wants to do that because he doesn't have to act. All he has to do is just be Robert Downey Jr. on the screen.
I would love to see him in an iron lung though. Iron Maiden, you must drawn one. Tell me. Oh, sorry.
Because we would feel powerless.
Yeah, nice segue. This is a DC thing, which is pretty funny. But Alan Tudyk is playing Van Wayne, which is Bruce Wayne's cousin, was just revealed this week. So it's totally gotten the comic book geeks on board because they want to know about the cousin of Bruce Wayne.
And it's Alan Tudyk.
And it's Alan Tudyk, and he just killed it in Rogue One.
As was everyone.
Oh, yeah, got killed, but he killed this performance too. Oh, sorry, too soon. Goodbye. Goodbye, Cassian.
That was sad.
That was very sad. I guess there's going to be some footage on the Blu-ray of alternate death scenes for K2SO and Cassian, because they shot a boatload of stuff that they changed, and that most of that, surprisingly enough, I think 80% of the original trailer was not in the movie. So there's scenes where Cassian and dies differently as well, and is fighting, and there's all these crazy different alternate takes. So I think it's gonna be fun for Blu-ray stuff. So
probably got another month for that.
Yeah, and you know, I'm kind of disappointed in a lot of the digital stuff. When you get movies, they don't always have like the stuff you can get on a Blu-ray. I don't know if that's Blu-ray's way of justifying having a physical product out there anymore, but they've got to figure a way where you can buy that and get it, because I was even looking at my Star Wars Blu-ray collection, and the bonus discs on these things are, I mean, especially for the prequels, the bonus footage for the prequel is much better than the movies themselves. there's like 60 minutes on The Phantom Menace of behind-the-scenes stuff, and Ian McGregor just geeking out and practicing doing Obi-Wan Kenobi voices, that I would watch that 10 times more than
the actual movie.
And that's, but that stuff is not available on iTunes and stuff like that, so it's, I think until they can get that, that might be how they're justifying people buying a physical copy of something, but I don't know. Crazy. That was a divergent thing. I'm sorry. That could be an offspring of something, possibly.
Perhaps. Yes. So, that's Offspring horrible. Is an Australian show, but you can find it on Hulu and you can find it on Netflix. And Basically, it's about a woman in her 30s. She's a doctor at a hospital. She does obstetrics.
Okay.
And it's just kind of a fun story. Like, she has a kind of a crazy family. Not, like, Shameless crazy. Not that crazy. But, like, but they do...
Very few families are that crazy.
Right. But there's a wackiness about them, but they all care about each other and are close, and you become kind of invested in these co-workers of hers, and it's sort of, you know, her quest to find love, but it's kind of a Grey's Anatomy meets Ally McBeal is the best way I can describe it. It's not nearly as heavy as Grey's Anatomy, where, like, there's all this crazy death. I mean, obviously things happen. She does work in a hospital, but... it's a lighter show than that, and it's Ally McBeal in the sense that she's awkward. So that's because of course she's very good looking and very smart and all that, so she has to be awkward to make her redeeming or at least in any way sort of relatable to anyone. And so she's awkward, so she'll like have to have these conversations. And she'll, like, imagine them before they happen in every which way could occur. But it's really a great show. I have to give a shout out to my friend Catherine who recommended this to me. You really come to love this family. And I think, check it out.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I do that a lot. I'll imagine these scenarios before I get into something. They never turn out as awesome as I wish they would, of course. So.
Yeah.
Or afterwards, I think of the 10 things I should have said. So, right. So this sounds good.
She's the opposite. Everything's going to go disastrously.
Right.
So, and it usually is... It sometimes is as bad as she thinks. But...
Oh, my gosh. So, what's this stuff about a Game of Thrones spinoff? Is that HBO?
That is HBO.
They've been talking about a spinoff, and... A couple days ago on an interview with Entertainment Weekly, one of the showrunners said that actually they'd probably be more interested in a prequel than a sequel.
Ooh.
Because a sequel means you have to keep certain people alive.
Yeah.
And we know that George R. R. Martin doesn't like anything to do with that.
Right.
So if they had a prequel, then it would be people who may have died that they could do their grandfathers or their fathers or whatever before them. They said that they've gone to a couple writers and said, okay, there's mentions of this in previous books of things that happened before. Go off and create a world of that and bring it back.
Martin himself has written some short stories for Duncan Egg, which are the Mad King's father was Egg and the Hedge Knight, Sir Duncan.
Okay.
And this is way previous to the events in Game of Thrones, and they're a kind of a more lighthearted Westeros tale, which, I mean, isn't that hard. I mean, only a few people die, not entire families. So I don't know if they'll go that route. There was talk when Game of Thrones came out that they might go that route and use some of Martin's source material for that, but we shall see.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of Game of Thrones, he apparently thinks maybe this year for the next book.
Yeah, he's been saying that for 4 years now.
I hope it's true, yeah. And then I've only watched the first season of Game of Thrones, and then I'm just going to plow through all those damn things. So,
I personally don't think he's going to publish the book until the series is over. Which it's got two shortened seasons left. So I don't think we're going to see it until 2018.
I'll tell you an odd prequel that works that I just heard they're going to do a season 3. I wasn't sure they were going to do it. It was Better Call Saul. And I was really excited because I really didn't even see all of season 2. They're so short and it just came up really quick. So I only saw the first 2 episodes and I kind of forgot about it. But so I need to catch up on that. But they're going to bring back a character from from Breaking Bad before they were super bad. So more on that, I guess, when the contract gets
signed. Talking about throwbacks.
Yeah, throwback.
First of all, Samurai Jack is back.
Yeah.
Yes. Which I love. I love Samurai Jack. Adult Swim is bringing Samurai Jack back.
So that's awesome. And then... we get to see a flashback on SNL of Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, so this past weekend, and if you missed it this past weekend, it's on Hulu right now. I don't know how long they'll have it up there, but It's the SNL when Carrie Fisher and the Blues Brothers hosted in 1978. And I will say this. I always had this fond remembrance of my dad letting me stay up late and watch Saturday Night Live. Bill Murray, John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd. I mean, all these great people. And I guess I kind of romanticized it in my head. But they've had the same problems they have right now as far as the show itself goes, whereas they don't know when to end a sketch, or they would just end it without an ending, which was really even funnier, I think.
Yeah.
They would just like kind of, it would just segue out, and you'd hear the audience like kind of faintly clapping because they weren't sure that's where they're really supposed to clap. But Carrie Fisher was on, and it was cool to see her. And of course, they did a Obi-Wan and Carrie Fisher joke where Obi-Wan was speaking to her through the Force, which was represented in 1978 TV through these blue flashes of light and a voice off camera. Be doing really bad.
Let's face it, SNL in 1978 didn't have a budget.
It didn't have a lot of a budget. You can make this on your iPhone a lot better now, actually. As far as some, the graphics were really funny too, but yeah, so then what happened was this horribly long sketch with Carrie Fisher traveling through time as Princess Leia to the, what was it? Annette Funicello? Funicello. To one of those movies, like the Beach Bingo. And then she takes off the white, she's got the hair in her, you know, in the buns and stuff. She takes off her white robe and she has this gold bikini, not like Return of the Jedi. It's just a two-piece thing, not quite as risque, but, and of course Annette feels threatened about this. But the sketch went on. I mean, it had to be a 10 minutes. It was just like, oh my God. And it went nowhere. It was just, it was painful to watch, but it was fun to see her. But then, so back then, Dan Aykroyd would do all these great impressions, but they used no makeup, very little wigs. So it was just like somebody doing an impression in a sketch, and he didn't have to have an elaborate makeup thing and all this, and pretty good, but he did this fake talk show with Carrie Fisher played Linda Blair, and so Dan Aykroyd was playing Tom Snyder from The Tomorrow Show, which is a show before David Letterman's show first started on NBC, and Carrie Fisher was playing Linda Blair. I couldn't tell you if she really did a really good Linda Blair impression, but it was very funny. It was just about her being coked out, and I guess there had been an arrest that year, too, for cocaine. So it was just very bizarre and surreal to watch. And then the Blues Brothers were awesome. It was just Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi just kind of taking over the screen. But what I noticed was everybody was really loud because they all came from Broadway type of shows. And then they just put a microphone on them. And they still projected, you know, not realizing there was monitors in the studio. So they have these weird kind of reverberations and things. But it's something I did not remember. But it's like the whole, there was a sketch about these loud people. And I was like, I could barely tell the difference. And we can update. They're all just yelling. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. So just weird things. But if you want to catch Carrie Fisher, you can check it out on Hulu, SNL from 1978.
Woo-hoo. And apparently there's going to be a Princess Leia update for Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. So there's been some rumors going around that they were going to do a CGI for the next, for the sequel to The Force Awakens. And is it 10?
It's 10. Because she actually filmed her scenes for that. Yeah.
And basically, Lucasfilm, Disney came out and said, we normally don't address rumors or fan speculation, but we just want to tell you right now, there's no recreation digitally CGI in that they were planning for that movie at all, either of Princess Leia or General Leia. So they said that we're not doing that. So
good.
So that's cool, yeah, because, you know, they did a little bit with Rogue One before she passed away. Not a big fan.
Now, the Tarkin worked.
Yeah, because it was darker.
It was darker, but her actual CGI didn't Oof. Quite work. And I don't think it was actually necessary. You could have just done the back shot.
Yeah.
And left it at that.
I think we all agree on that. Yeah.
I love that CGI.
No, you do.
It was the best thing about that.
Burn in hell.
Burn in hell.
So speaking of other...
Karen. Carrie Fisher. Can we keep with Carrie Fisher? Because I actually read Wishful Drinking.
Oh, cool.
Which is the book on her one-woman show dealing with her childhood growing up as basically Hollywood royalty.
Oh, yeah.
And her addiction and her foray into electroshock therapy. And the reason why she wrote the book is because she was having trouble remembering things because of the electroshock therapy.
Oh.
And so she wrote it all down. This is it's a very quick read. It's not very thick. I think I read it. I started it Sunday night and finished it Monday afternoon.
Okay.
So it was a very quick read. But one of the things I love about Carrie Fisher's writing is that even though this woman should not be accessible to somebody like us, because she did grow up just in a very rich lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
her writing makes her very, very accessible. And she's very witty and she's funny and she is pretty brutal in what she says is wrong with her, which, you know, she talks about her addictions and her bipolar and everything. She's very upfront with all of it. But she's very accessible. I recommend the book. Like I said, it's a quick read. There's also an HBO special of the One Woman Show if you want to catch that as well.
Nice.
And staying on the Star Wars theme, Mark Hamill read some of Donald Trump's quotes in the Joker's voice.
Just track this down. This is, oh my gosh, it had to have been done. And the fact that he would do it is great, not somebody doing an impression of Mark Hamill doing it. So it's
Mark Hamill was the Joker?
Yeah.
In the animated.
The voice of the Joker.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Series.
Yeah, pretty insane. He read the one about crushing your foes.
Oh, God.
The scary thing is their actual
Trump tweets. That's the scary thing.
Yeah.
I would say this would make the next 4 years go a little bit easier, but no.
No.
So Keith Urban, he played a tribute to some of the past musicians. Definitely something to look up as well.
Yeah, that's on our Guardians of the Geekery on Facebook. We posted that a while back during one of our breaks. And just really nice. Prince, George Michael, David Bowie. He didn't hit everybody, but he hit, I guess, the larger folks, and just him on his acoustic guitar, and it just seemed like really heartfelt. It wasn't something he did for money. He just wanted to do it. I think that's pretty nice. So, do you want to talk about going to DC this weekend?
I'm actually taking a drive up to DC. I don't know when this is going to be broadcast, but I'm going to the Women's March in DC.
Cool.
We're driving up. This is going to be a very quick trip for us. We're driving up. Yeah. Like Friday night, Saturday morning, and then leaving after the march and driving back home. Whew. So
that times with the inauguration, right?
That's
weekend type of thing.
Yeah, it's after the inauguration.
Gotcha.
But so I'll be there Saturday for the Women's March in Washington, and I may record something there. I mean, that depends on how crazy it is.
Right. If you can get your cell phone out without
being
hosed down or something. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see how this goes. But yeah, it'll be
all right. Well, can't wait to hear about it, and be careful.
Please. Oh, yeah. We're spotting things.
Are you?
Yes.
Let's hope there's no futuristic violence, but there are fancy suits.
Yeah, so whoa. I read a book called Futuristic Violence and Fancy Suits. It's by David Wong, who wrote John Dies in the End, if you've ever seen that movie or read that book. I highly recommend this book. It's very funny. It's very violent, but I have to love a book that has a cat named Stench Machine as a main character.
Oh my goodness.
But it's about Zoe Ash, who is this kind of trailer trash girl living with her stripper mom, and her dad is a very rich crime lord.
Okay.
Who kind of sort of went standard. He kind of sort of got out of the crime war business.
Yeah,
he kind of sort of went legit and started a city called Tabla Rasa, which is kind of Las Vegas, only with no police.
Okay.
And he is killed, and she inherits everything, which is a ludicrous amount of money. And she suddenly becomes the target of every crime lord on the planet because they find out that she is the only way to open a safe that has something very important in it. So she's suddenly there's bounties on her head and she's having to be saved by her father's business associates. And while she's learning what to do with this information and what to do with her inheritance and how to stay alive, which is the majority of the book is how to stay alive. But I recommend it. David Wong. Futuristic violence and fancy suits. I hope he writes a sequel to it because I do like the character of Zoe Ash. And her kitty stench machine.
I like it.
So who saw Hidden Figures?
I did.
Oh.
So Hidden Figures, you know, story of three African American, or really, there's more, but they're focusing on three African American women, but in the space program back in the 60s. You know, it's a very well-made movie. It's very, you know, Remember the Titans-esque, you know, where you're sad because of the realities of sexism and racism that existed in that time. But then it's also this very uplifting story of seeing these women come into their own and stuff. So, just a very feel good in that regard way, movie. So,
oh, cool.
I recommend it. It was very good.
Awesome.
Will it win awards?
I mean, I think everybody did a good job. I mean, I really do, but it wasn't like.
This was a pretty good year for movies, actually.
Super affecting performance in that regard, you know?
Yeah, I think this was actually a pretty good year for movies. I think there's a lot out there that will probably obscure it.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll keep it hidden.
Hidden.
But maybe it will experience a rebirth, like certain titles available on Hoopla Digital.
Oh, yeah. So DC's reboot called Rebirth, they're making
original.
A lot of the first... The number one issues of that series available for free on Hoopla Digital. So it's a new format, new platform out there with a bunch of free comic books and stuff like that. So if you don't want to pay the $3, go over there and at least read the number ones and see if you dislike the reboot or you like the reboot. Having read some of these titles, it's better than most reboots. So... because they're actually going back to what kind of made DC classic and fun. So I think it's good. Deathstroke and Nightwing being two of my favorites. I could go on and on about their comic books.
Deathstroke, like what's that about?
It's about an assassin.
He's an assassin. He's not stroking much of anything. So just guns.
I thought maybe it was somebody asphyxiating themselves while they stroke their dick.
No, that's
no.
That's sex criminals or actual book. Actual book. Yeah.
So you've been yeah, it is an actual book.
You should check that out. No, Tiffany, you should.
You should actually check out.
You should check that out because they have sex together, then they get to stop time.
Oh, yeah, okay. You should actually check out sex criminals. Yeah,
it's wild.
Like it.
It was starting back up again.
Yeah,
so which is good. Yeah,
Matt Fraction is actually a really great. Writer, so
Morgan he does Sink. That. Oh, sorry.
So, no, I'm done. I think I'm done.
Okay, I thought you
and
had
with
some...
that,
with oh, that, I think we're the, all done.
With the asphyxiation.
Real quick, since we always talk about deaths, unfortunately, this is not one. This is James Earl Jones' birthday.
Yeah. So, happy birthday, Darth Vader.
Darth Vader, thanks for
and Betty White
and Betty White's
and Betty White, 95.
The Highlander is 95. We've determined she is the one.
Rapper and bubble wrap, keep her going this year,
that's
kids.
Right.
All right.
And then Robert Downey Jr. can be her Blanche.
Yep.
Oh.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Does that mean he's going to star in the remake of the holiday special?
Yes.
Probably. Yeah.
I hope so.
Oh, come on.
That wasn't Blanche.
That wasn't Blanche?
No, Blanche was...
Oh, that's right.
Blanche
that was Bjork.
Blanche was played by...
That was Dorothy.
That was Dorothy. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Never mind then.
Yeah.
I know where you're going, though. Yeah.
Blanche was played by Rue.
Rue McClanahan. So it'd be a remake of Hollywood After Dark.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to see a young Rue McClanahan, Hollywood After Dark. She plays a burlesque dancer.
Yeah, so does Ginger Rogers.
Ooh.
Yeah, you get to see her shake her titties.
All right, and on that note...
Thank you for being a friend.
Okay, we're out of here.
Thank you for listening to Guardians Toodaloo. Of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery.
Everybody cheer,
Dan. C-O-T-G-O-G. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery.
And to the right.
The Day in the Sun by Jens Pilstock.
Left.
Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.
And back. And back. And Boston.
Jazz hands!
Spirit fingers!